letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive. The elders were taken out of their place and put somewhere else. And to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here are the people of God in a foreign place, captive in Babylon. Jumping down verse number 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away. Did you get that part? I have caused to be carried away. God allowed this to happen. They were carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Wow. Verse number 5 gives us instruction. God is showing, telling them what to do. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Amen. My topic today is this: peace in exile. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray your hand, Lord, to be upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would help me, anoint me. Lord, put words in my mouth, quicken my understanding, and Lord, talk to our hearts today. I pray that you would touch each person, Lord, that, Lord, as your word is, as even the example of your people, I pray that it would be received, Lord, by your people here today. Help me, Lord, to be a part of that peace, Lord, that you give. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray your will to be done here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Peace in exile. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah wrote this letter to the Jewish exiles that ended up in Babylon. They ended up as captives. They were taken there. This writing was, I believe, in the about the year 494 B.C., before Christ. Zedekiah was king of Judah. It was his fourth year, as this letter points out, this writing in the Bible. History says that there was a Judahite rebellion among the exiles in Babylon. You see, they didn't want to be captives in a foreign land. They didn't want to be there. And because of that, they were causing trouble. They were not content to be in Babylon. In fact, they wanted to get out of there. They lived because of that feeling, that mindset. Because of their condition, they were in a constant state of frustration. I believe that happens to people even today. It happens if you want to be somewhere else, and by circumstance you are where you are, and you don't really like what's going on, you don't want to be where you're at, it causes frustration. It did to them. It does to people today. the leaders spoke of and hoped for a short-lived exile. We're going to be delivered. God's going to be with us. We're going to be able to return. There's going to be a better future. So Jeremiah's message, this I just read, the opening portion of Scripture, was not welcomed. It was not well received. Jeremiah was telling the people, get the summary of what he said. He said, build houses. You know, that takes time to build a house. And if you're building a house, it's almost like you're planning on living there. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, live of that garden, eat of the fruit thereof. And he just says this, get married, have kids there. Now you're talking, that's a little longer term situation. Get married, have kids there. Raise your kids there. Let your kids get married off there. Wow. This is Jeremiah's message to those that are in some place they didn't want to be. Here it is, number five. The point I want to make here is, and this may be the toughest thing, seek the peace of that city. Amen. I believe God was telling them, I've got you covered right where you are. Amen. Their heart was somewhere else. They wanted to be back in the homeland. They wanted to be back in Jerusalem. But yet God's plan for that time, for that people, was that He is able to bless you where you are. Amen. Settle down. Behave yourselves. Stop fussing. And let God bless you. Let God be God in your life right now. God's message was, I want you to be increased. I want to bless your life. Stop fussing. Stop putting life on hold because you're not where you want to be. The message is, put down some roots. Build houses. Plant gardens. Get married. Have kids. Marry your kids off. I'm talking, that's going to take a little while. That's going to take some time. And pray for the peace of that city. Put down some roots. Bloom where God has planted you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is telling us, I have you right where I want you. I placed you where you are. God wanted them to make Babylon home for that period. God wanted to bless them, multiply them. God wanted them to have increase where they were. As amazing as it seems, God wanted them to be blessed in Babylon. Our society, the American thought process, has almost become, even nationally, even more so in this locality, is that moving is on people's minds. Oftentimes we have some sailors. Sailors come for a time. Coast Guard people come for a time. We got a nuclear plant that sometimes people come for a time. We have colleges that sometimes people come for a period. We have the shipyard that brings people in occasionally. We have people that are drawn to this place for other than this house of worship. And they are here for a time. The average is that people live someplace for 6 years. Sometimes people move more often than that. Sometimes people live longer than that in one place. Now, I grew up in a small community, northern Wisconsin's a half a continent away from here. Superior by name. Anybody ever heard of Superior, Wisconsin? Just out of curiosity. Six people. It's a little dot on the map halfway across the continent. Well, that was my hometown. That's where I grew up. I grew up in the same school system. I started in Blaine Elementary, went through all the grades of that school in that one place. And then I went to junior high school and went through all of the grades in that school. And then I went to senior high school and went through all of the grades in that school. I went through every grade in that same school district until graduation. We didn't experience a whole lot of moving around. In fact, for that period, it was the only world I ever knew. The whole world revolved around the life where I was. I had heard about, in grade school, in the history books, that there was a place called Connecticut. I had never really known much about it. I had no desire to go there. There was no inkling in my mind even where it was. But I would have been content at that time to stay where I was. But there was something within me that wanted to find a place in the kingdom of God. I wanted to find the place that I could have a home, have a wife, have a family, get kids, see them grow up, let them get married. And, you know, in that period, way back then, it was far from what life brought to me. But yet it was the plan of God for my life to end up here in this place. Amen. Some twisty turnings. I went from Wisconsin to Virginia, spent 15 years there, came here. You know, and I would have been very content staying where God planted me in Virginia. I was not looking to move. I was not looking to find a new place. And yet, it was God's plan to lead me to Connecticut. My family was in Virginia with me, of course. By that time, I had four small children, and I'm being asked to come to Connecticut. And we had to look up on a map to show the kids where it was. We'd never heard of this place. We did hear of it. It's in the history books. Connecticut has a very long history. In fact, longer than our country. Amen. But coming here was the plan of God for our life. Amen. I am here because God's hand was upon me. God drew me unto this place. Things just worked out and God moved things out of the way. And with the blessing of my pastor and with the help of my employer, I ended up here in a place that I didn't know anything about. There's probably some people, how many, just out of curiosity, are you homegrown New London County, Connecticut people? Oh, quite a quarter of our church is from here. Yeah, awesome. Amen. That means three quarters of our church came here from somewhere else. Exiles. I raised my hand. God brought me here, I want to say this, on purpose. It was God's plan for my life and for the life of my children, for the life of my grandchildren, for the life of my family. It was God's plan to bring me here. Amen. I say without any hesitation, without any reservations, I tell you, God worked His plan in my life and brought me here. Long ago, way back when, I was in another place. I was in Virginia at the time. My employer was planning to start cooperating with Electric Boat, which they had been bitter enemies at that time. You know, don't tell them anything about what we do. Don't share any secrets. Don't, you know, it was a battle between two competitors in shipbuilding. And so when I first arrived, it was almost like, I would say at least half of the people still had the mindset, what are you doing in my workplace? And here I was trying to help in a new endeavor, trying to make peace in exile. It really was. It was a different mindset. It was a different plan. It was a different place. What was I doing in Connecticut? I tell you, it was the plan of God for me to be here. They invited me to come for 3 years. It was a temporary position. My pastor said, all right, you can go. God will use you. God will bless you. And you're on loan for 3 years. That was in 1997, 27 years ago, and I'm still on loan. I tell you, the roots have gone way down into the earth by now. I have a house. I got a home. I got kids that grew up and got married. I got grandchildren. I'm telling you, the roots are spreading way out right here in Connecticut. This is the place that God planted me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grow some roots. Set yourself. Now, when I go to other places, when I go to General Conference, when I go to a convention, when I go back to Virginia for work, or when I go to Wisconsin to visit relatives, or when I go to some other place, I just want to come home to Connecticut. Amen. Let me click my heels. There's no place like home. I want to go home. There is a wonderful presence of the Lord at home. I'm at peace because God brought me here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And no matter where you come from, I know there's some people here from Nevada, some people I think from California, some people from Virginia, some people from Wisconsin, where else you from? Ohio. Anyone in another state? What is it? New York? Other countries? You know, perhaps this isn't where God started you at, but this is where God brought you to. It is my belief that it is God's plan to prosper you where He put you. It's God's plan to bless you where you're planted. Amen. It's God's will to prosper for you to increase your life right here. It's God's plan. In New London County, we get sailors, they keep their license plates from the other state. I got co-workers on my job that keep their license plates from another place. It's kind of like they have a dual citizenship. You know, their car has a license plate from a different state, and they vote absentee in another place, but they live here. It's like a dual mindset. They live in one place, but are a resident of somewhere else. You know, these people in this portion of Scripture, they had a mindset that Jerusalem is home. That's where I belong. That's where I need to be. That's where God is going to bring me back to. They got a mindset somewhere else where God has brought them to the place where they are. This is not, perhaps, where you have chosen to be. But God chose this place for me. Yeah. Amen. This is where God placed me. I tell you, and it's a longer story, but God had His hand on my life, every step, every place, everything that happened to bring me to this place, I believe. In fact, I know was the hand of God to lead me here. Now, I can't tell the story of everybody else, but I think the gist of your story is just like mine. God's hand was on your life to bring you to this place. You're here today because God brought you here. Amen. New London County is now home. This is where God has planted me. But I present a thought to you today. Perhaps this was supposed to be temporary. Some people come for a nuclear plant or a job in the area for a few months. But if you're anything like me, that temporary position turned out to be 27 years ago. You got to choose to let yourself grow in Jesus Christ. When God increases you and God blesses your life, when God plants you somewhere, when a tree gets taller, guess what? The roots go down deeper. Amen. I believe my roots have gone way out. God has brought me a mighty long way. God has blessed me in my life and in my place that He put me. God has blessed me. Amen. What if you had that mindset? I still want to be in Jerusalem. I still want to be in Wisconsin. Oh, I wish I was still back in Virginia. No, you see, if that mindset got a hold of my life, it would keep me from growing where I am. God says, I brought you to this place. I believe God brought me here. God has a reason. God has a purpose for your life in this place because God brought you here. I can see your face, so God brought you here. Amen. And while you're here, I want you to lose that mindset of the other place. Set your mind on start building. I got to put down roots. And God will prosper you. Scripture tells us to seek the peace of the city. I hope you pray that God will prosper this church. That God would bless this people. That God would save the lady at the grocery store. That God would help the checkout person at the gas station. I pray that you would pray for the peace of this place. God, let your peace that surpasses our own understanding. God, let your word touch our lives. Amen. It seems like most often it's our intentions, or often it had been, or is in many people, to go back, quote unquote, home. But what if God says, I want you to have peace in exile? You know, for a lot of years, it was in my mindset, you know, God's brought me here for a time, and then I'm going to go away. You know what? God has just changed my mind. He's changed my attitude. He's set in my life the absolute assurity that God will bless me where He puts me. That I can blossom and bloom and grow and increase right where God places me. Amen. In fact, it's God's will for each of us to set down roots. You got to grow in the place that God puts you. You got to increase where God places you. Amen. But Pastor, I plan to take what I have learned here is so good and bring it back to the other place. Well, that's possible. We've had people in our church that had a time of growth and God blessed them while they were here. But you know what? In every instance that I'm thinking of, when they participated in what we're doing, what we are, and they came to the services, they worshiped God, they were participators in the classes, and they took part in the worship, they were growing in Christ, God did use them in the other place. There is places where God brings you someplace for a time and then uses you in another place. There's other ministers that have grown up and increased here, and God blessed them and used them there. That does happen. But you got to grow where God places you, where you are. You got to choose to grow right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I tell you, if God brought me here, God will bless my life in my time here. Amen. God will bless me where He puts me. Amen. I invite you, worship the Lord, magnify God, come to prayer meeting, come to midweek service, come to the classes, put down roots and increase your faith in God. This is the place that God wants you to grow in. This is the time. This is the place that God has brought you to. And there is place for you to grow in Christ right here. Amen. The next verse. Now, I know what suffering is. Everybody goes through some hardship, some difficulty, some trial time. And I know that God always brings me out. God always protects me. God always helps me. He has blessed my life where I am. The next verse, verse 13, Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. From one step to the other. Well, I've never done that before, but God helped me in it. God protected me in it. God brought me through it. God blessed me in it. Just dig in where you are. Every place that I've ever been, I want it to grow roots right there. Now, there are times God transplanted me. It's not like I cut all my roots off. I didn't quit believing. I didn't quit believing in God. Everywhere I went, God was with me. And when God plants you somewhere, grow in Jesus Christ. Magnify the Lord. Worship God where you are. I can do all things through Christ. You know that, well, I've never done that before. That is not a reason to not do it in the future. Amen. Before coming to Apostolic Lighthouse, I was never pastor before. And to be honest with you, I'll never be pastor again. This is the one and only place, at least, unless God might change my mind, okay? Who's to say what God will plan for my future? But right now, I want to grow right here. There's no other place on my mind I would rather be than right here, right now, today. Amen. This is the place that God brought me to. Amen. And there can be a part of me. I want to see other places blessed. I pray that God will continue to help them and lead them. But I've watched also people that live in the mindset of a different place. How that it leads to a discontentment. That it also, that discontentment will produce in their lives a conflict. It will produce within them. If you keep thinking about the other place, it will hinder your growth in God right here. Amen. Grow in God in the place that God has put you. When you find yourself here, grow in Jesus Christ right here. Discontentment will rob you of the joy that is meant for you to have in the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be increased. God wants you to grow in Him. It is possible when you got that leaving on your mind mindset that it will hinder you to the point that your spirit doesn't grow. Hate to even say it, but there's some that discontentment caused rot. Start to decrease their spirituality. Started to decrease their blessings. And it increased their hardships because of the discontentment in wanting to be somewhere else. You see, I happen to believe that ministry is not the only calling. Now, yes, God has blessed me and God has brought me to this place. But God wants you to increase where you are. Let me make this point. I don't like the term. I don't agree with it. Some people call it laity. It almost implies that it's less than. No, it's not. Because God wants every person, I tell you, bar none, to put down roots
and increase in Jesus Christ. Amen. All of us are called to be ministers. Every one of us is called to serve Jesus Christ and to be a part of the body of Jesus. My understanding of scriptures is that he has called some, it's true, to the fivefold ministry. But he has called everyone to be a minister. Every person. You mean you were a minister before you got your preaching license? Oh, by far. By far. I was ministering. You are ministering without a United Pentecostal Church credential card. Amen. And I'm not downplaying the United Pentecostal Church. I love the fellowship that I'm in. I really do. I think it is a great benefit to the body of Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 and 12, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." God uses all kinds of anointed ministers, ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to verse number 12, "for this purpose, for the perfecting of the saints." God wants you to be increased. God wants you to grow in Him. For this purpose, for the work of the ministry. God wants you to participate in the kingdom of God for the edifying of the body of Christ. I tell you, by you putting down roots, by you getting involved in God, by you being excited about living for the Lord and worshiping God, it blesses the whole body. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Got my springtime sinuses going on. God wants to bless this church with your life, with your ministry, with your prayers, with your increasing. Amen. Some are designed by God to perfect, and many to minister. God wants us all to be increased in Him. Your life in this place is meant to be a blessing. It's meant for you to grow in your relationship with God. Yes, there are going to be those that are going to be anointed by the Lord to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort, perhaps even to preach. But that's not the only thing. Ephesians chapter 4, jumping down verse 16. It says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." I tell you what, you supply something important to the body of Christ. "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I tell you what, it's an important part of the body of Christ that each of us would grow in Him. It's God's will for you to prosper. It's God's will for you to set down roots. It's God's will for you to increase right here. Amen. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read at verse number 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." There's a comma right there. Let me pause for just a moment. Here is water. If you've not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by immersion, in the name of Jesus Christ, did I say that part? I mean, that's an important part. It is a part of what joins us together into one body. Because we have that common factor that I've been born again in the name of Jesus. Jesus is my God. He's my Creator. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I tell you, it's something powerful that binds us as a single body in Jesus Christ. They were all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs to experience the giving or the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's for you. It's a part of our increase in God. It's an essential part of our salvation. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. The church is not just the pastor. In fact, this is the house of Jesus, okay? Everybody here needs to be looking to Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody, let's point everybody to God. Amen. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, someone say now. Right now, right here, today, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. I'm telling you, thank you for being in the house of God today. You're an important part of God's church, of the body of Christ. Amen. God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be increased. Amen. So many, too many people are paralyzed because they don't think God knew what was going on when He chose you. Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to... You know what? Just let God be God. Just let God bless your life. Go ahead and participate in the kingdom. Go ahead and come to church. Go ahead and participate in the things of God. I'm telling you, everything that goes on in this church will help you be increased in Jesus. Every part, every class, you're going to learn about Jesus in the toddler class. You're going to learn about Jesus in the young people's class. You're going to learn about Jesus in the elements class, in the end time class. God is going to increase your understanding of Him when you put down roots and grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps there's some that think, well, I don't fit. That isn't me. Or why me? I'm not even good at that. I don't know how to do that. You know what? That's just the carnal flesh. That's just the carnal nature of your past. God wants you to grow right here. Amen. It's God's plan for you to be blessed right here. If you were to spend your days complaining about where you don't want to be, it's going to breed rebellion. It's going to breed discontentment. Just go ahead and be happy living for God in exile. In a place where you didn't know God wanted you to be, but God planted you there. Amen. So we, perhaps if you had that discontentment, your uprising into a subtle form of protest. You know what? I don't want to be compared to everybody else. I know that God brought me to this place. I know that God wants me to be right here. Amen. And I know other preachers, other places, perhaps they're full-time ministries, full-time pastors. In fact, I've had some influential people pull me aside and, you need to be full-time. You need to be full-time in the ministry. Well, I hear what you're saying, but I also know God's hand, I can see God's hand upon me. I know God brought me here to this place. Amen. I am called by God for this specific duty, to be here in this place. God gave me a blessed life when I followed Him. God blessed my family. He's blessed our church. He's blessed our heritage. God will bless your home when you follow Him. You see, anything less than following that plan of God is rebellion. I don't want to rebel against God. If I just let God do what He wants to do in my life, God will bless me more. God will increase me abundantly. Amen. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read there at verse number 21, it says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." If your body didn't have feet, you would be greatly hindered. Right? That'd be a lot of trouble. "And seem to be more feeble are necessary," verse 23, "and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." You might think, oh, what I'm doing is not important. My friend, your worship to Jesus Christ is precious in the sight of God. Amen. Your worship unto the Lord is received by God. Amen. God wants you to be in the house of God. He wants to bless you right where you are. God wants you to be blessed and increased in your life. Increase means you do or have something you didn't do or have before. Are you growing in Christ? Are you living for God? Are you increasing in Him? You know, God is, I believe, is dealing with many in our assembly. Oh, what can I do? What can I... You know what? You just let God increase you.
You just follow after God and keep serving Him and walk with Him as He brings you to the place He wants you to be. God wants to bless you right here. Praise the Lord. Don't try to fit into somebody else's particular box. Let it flow. Let yourself grow. Let God mold you and make you and form you into the place He wants you to grow into in ministry. If you can find a way to apply your gifts, your abilities, what God has blessed you with, let God use you in that way. We are doing more than just a job. Maybe it's a vocation where you are called. I'm not trying to spiritualize everything, but really, God works in everything in our life. Everything. You know, God has called us to do what He gave us to do. If you are a doctor, and to my knowledge, I don't think we have any doctors yet. But if you're a doctor, God can use your medicine to help people. But God is still the healer. Amen. If you are an artisan, if you are talented in creative manners, my wife said something about a flyer. Thank you very much for helping with the flyer. Amen. We have revivals. I don't make those flyers. But there are talented people right here in our church that help us to make attractive looking flyers. What that is a part of growing in Jesus Christ. Those little things that seem less important, they are very important. They are part of the plan of God. Craftsmen, professionals, skilled individuals. Music is a talent that all of us don't have. But God uses music in our church. When God got ready to build this house, it wasn't just the preacher that was involved. It's far more. He draws men and women of different levels, of different skills. Our church family is a team that is formed, pressed together in the name of Jesus, to increase in Him. Exodus chapter 35. This is where I'm... In fact, musicians, come on up. I got another reading and I'm going to close here shortly. Exodus chapter 35. This is wonderful. This is great. Right here. Exodus chapter 35, beginning to read at verse number 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called, get this now, God called this man that I'm about to read by name, Bezalel. Someone say Bezalel. You ever heard of him before? How many heard of Bezalel before? Several. I'll tell you what, he was a special man with a calling of God upon his life. The Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver, and in wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. And He hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ameshech, of the tribe of Dan, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet, in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work. Do you get what I'm saying? This guy had an anointing of God upon his life. But he was a workman. And of those that devise cunning work, verse 36, verse 1, then brought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. It was God's purpose for this anointed man to be a workman in the house of God. God's hand was upon him. You see, we are called together to be a part of this body of Christ. We are blessed in this house together. Would you stand with me? Our church desperately needs Bezalels. Don't be offended if I call you Brother Bezalel. It's not an insult. It's a compliment. This guy was skilled in every manner of workmanship. Amen. He was anointed of God for his ministry. This church needs mechanics, needs plumbers, needs electricians. This church needs craftsmen and carpenters and musicians and singers, teachers and cleaners and painters, technicians and computer specialists, artisans and laborers, anointed of God for the work of the house of the Lord. Amen. God wants you to be prospered right here where you are. Amen. You are an important part of the house of God. You bless the house with your talent and with your finances. And God wants to bless you right here. Would you lift your hands and would you lift your voice? Would you magnify God with me? Would you put down roots as you lift your praise upward to Jesus Christ? Would you join us in worship right here in the closing of this service? God wants to bless your life. God wants to increase you and grow in Him. Would you do that with me right now?